Kia ora tātou, a warm welcome and thank you for joining us in Homily Studio as we look towards the readings for the 16th Sunday of Ordinary Time, Year B. My name is John Kleinsman. I am the Director of the New Zealand Catholic Bioethics Centre. But before that, and perhaps even more importantly than that, I am a husband, a father and a grandfather. And today I'm joined by two women, Victoria and Jelvine. I'm going to ask Victoria to introduce herself now. Thank you, Victoria.
Thank you, John. Kia ora tātou. My name's Victoria. I'm Victoria Rock. I'm based in Blenheim. I'm part of Star of the Sea Parish, a rather large geographical parish that goes from Picton to Kaikoura. In my day job, I am a research associate to do with grape growing predominantly. So some of our gospels sing to my heart when I read them. And when I'm not doing that, I'm part of the launch out, doing the launch out formation program through the Archdiocese of Wellington. And I'm in my fifth year of that. So we gather for prayer days and reflections, and we do pastoral projects, and we do studying programs through Te Kapenga, all very productive and informative and life-giving. So that's me.
Thank you, Victoria. Jelvine, you're an old hand at this. Welcome back.
Kia ora tautou. My name is Jelvine, and I work for Te Kapenga Catholic Leadership Institute, and I recently embarked on theological studies here at Te Kapenga as well, and I'm a mother to two children, and I am part of the St. Mary's North Gold Parish, and I'm based in Auckland.
Kia ora tātou. Thank you, both of you. And it's our privilege today to share some thoughts and reflections with you as we all prepare to hear what God is saying to each of us at this time, in whatever place we find ourselves, psychological space, spiritual space, but also physical space and whatever we are dealing with in our lives. I love what St. Ambrose once said, God spoke and the heavens were made. God spoke and the earth was made. God spoke and all creatures were made. Does this not show you how powerful is the word of Christ? And so I offer that as our opening prayer, our gathering prayer today. So, readings with a theme, multiple themes, and I'm going to ask you, Jelvine, as to what struck you first. What would you like to share about the three readings for this week?
The reading that struck me most here is the last passage of the first reading, which says, "The Lord our justice." So in this reading of Jeremiah, the prophecy is about a Messiah, a shepherd. And I thought for a while that, oh, maybe that's why the Jews thought that the Messiah would be a strong leader, perhaps in the army, who would topple the empire and sort of that that things. But here it is a shepherd. God is sending us a shepherd through Jesus Christ, who guides us, who guides his flock, who protects, who nourishes, who heals and saves his flock. And we will, and we know of parables about the good shepherd in the gospel. And this is a stark contrast of the idea of a Messiah in those days, and of course the shepherds of the Israelites in this reading were evil, and they did look after the people of Israel, and so that took me to the second reading, of the fulfillment of this prophecy in a very different way, a way that is unexpected, where Jesus died, suffered, and died, and was resurrected, and he, you know, in the second reading it says he brought peace to the Jews as well as to the Gentiles, to us, and that is how the image of a shepherd that he is to us.
Thank you, Jovi. Victoria, your thoughts.
Well, not 100% different from what Jelvine has just shared with us, but yes, that whole image of shepherds and shepherding and sheep, certainly in the reading from Jeremiah and Mark, were very obvious. And actually the Jeremiah one led me to also actually, I don't say move away, but even go a little bit further into Ezekiel, because I think it was chapter 4 of Ezekiel's very similar, but actually much longer, about that very same thing, about coming to rebuking and speaking harshly against the current shepherds and saying, you know, I will then come and bring my people together. So Jeremiah is speaking out in the name of God. It wasn't himself just saying it. And as I said, so was Ezekiel. They were really putting themselves out on the line. And I think one of the phrases, certainly in Jeremiah, that, well, there are so many, but I myself will gather from all countries. God is not a distant God. God says, I will come in and do it myself. I've had a, for want of a better term, a rat bag lot of shepherds who've been actually not doing their job, be they kings or spiritual leaders.
I love your use of the term rat bag. I think I'm going to use it as a, take it as a new theological term. I was wondering myself about how this reading might apply in our own time. I think the metaphor of a shepherd, it is one that is well known, and the verse, the psalm, of course, is perhaps one of the most well-known psalms in the whole of the Old Testament. But I was asking myself, well, who are the shepherds today? What does it mean to be a shepherd today? How does the notion of shepherd and sheep translate in our time, when perhaps it might seem to suggest a very active notion of leadership that implies a very passive notion of we Catholics, lay people, whatever, being the ones who follow? So I think there is some cultural critique that needs to happen around that. And I was also reflecting on some recent conversations I've had with people I know, people who I think would still call themselves Catholic, but who speak of being quite disillusioned with parish life and the church, and who may, or in my experience, are not always actively involved in their parishes in the way that they were some time ago. I think most of us can relate or know of people like that. So I'm wondering what that means. How do we care for those people who are on the fringes? And, you know, sometimes we talk about people who have left the church, which puts the responsibility on those people as if somehow it is their fault. So how, as leaders today, or who are the leaders, how are we caring for those people? What does caring look like today? What does bringing them back look like? They are all phrases which the prophet Jeremiah uses.
It is a very real, dare I say, crisis that we as a church and parish communities face. It's easy to not realize that somebody's moved away for some reason, and it's only well later after the event, and how you reach out is another thing.
Victoria, your comments remind me about the basic theological fact that it is in baptism that we're the key sacrament of discipleship,
that that
we are called. Jelvine, I'm just wondering from a cultural perspective, you know, in New Zealand, it's an agricultural country. We have certain images of what shepherds and sheep are like, which would be very different from the Old Testament. I'm wondering how, from someone who comes with a different ethnic background, what that metaphor does for you and how that speaks to you and where that leads you.
We probably don't have sheep, but we definitely have animals that, you know, we tend, and it's where I come from is predominantly an agriculture country. So we have the image of, say, the fruit and the vine. So that's very relatable to us. Taking on from what you were saying, I was drawn into the gospel where, you know, Jesus and the disciples were trying to get on the boat to get away and get some rest, probably to connect to the source, to the Father. But then disruption happened. And well, what struck me here is that Jesus was moved with pity for the people. In the NSRV translation, it says compassion. He is moved with compassion. And I think that is a stronger word for me, because when you have compassion, you are moved to do something. And I think that is our call as baptized Christians. When we see a need, so it's probably, you know, John is talking about people who might have left the church. But I mean, what do they need? Do we recognize what they need? So it's probably not about preaching. It's probably just about listening to them or walking alongside them. You know, we have different ways of evangelizing as baptized Christians. And that is, I think, what we need to be mindful of. What do they need at that moment? And how can we fulfill that need? You know, and because of that compassion, how can we be shepherd to them? So it's probably simple things like, you know, having coffee, having a chat, or listening. You know, those basic things would probably what they need at that moment, and that will probably take them back to church, or you know, draw them closer to Jesus through us.
If we think of those, or if I think of those childhood pictures of the Good Shepherd, it's the one that comes to mind is Jesus carrying the lamb over his shoulders and walking. And it's a picture which evokes images of care and protection. It's also quite an intimate picture, I think. So for me, part of the power of the metaphor of shepherd is its power in challenging us as to how we show care and intimacy with our fellow human beings. Victoria?
What I was going to say, I mean, yes, there were two things I was going to bring up about that. First of all, Pope Francis's great saying about taking on the smell of the sheep. That is always something that is really resonant. That is not necessarily rosy. It's mucky. It's going out there and handling and taking on that pastoral accompaniment, which he often talks about. And, you know, walking alongside, which Jelvine has mentioned, is critical for everybody. And the second thing I was going to say is about shepherds. And yes, that image of the Good Shepherd is a really strong one that I think we certainly promote widely, and I think is a rightful has its rightful place. But I think people possibly forget that actually that image of a shepherd is that Jesus talks about and is reflected in the Gospels is countercultural, because a shepherd, again, at that time, was equivalent of, in terms of a societal structure, the same as a tax collector or a prostitute, because they were the margins. They were living out on the margins. They were living rough. They were pretty probably coarse in their language, certainly not clean and well kept like the city dwellers. They were out living with their sheep.
The power of this metaphor for us is too easily lost in our society, but in Jesus' time, the shepherd was in fact the disenfranchised, the
totally.
Yeah, you make that point very, very well. How about any further thoughts about the second reading or the gospel? Jelvin?
Oh, as I mentioned earlier, the fulfillment of Jeremiah's prophecy came in the second reading, in Ephesians 2, where Jesus' death and resurrection brought reconciliation to both Jews and Gentiles. And we can see a lot of readings around Jews and Gentiles coming together, the curtain being torn into two from top to bottom, which symbolizes that we have God, we have God face to face now, and we are united in Christ. So I think that is a very very important thing to remember for us, that Christ has offered himself to unite us, to bring us peace, and that we have an accessible God now, who is not very far away. He is presented there. He is accessible. He is available anytime. How do we make ourselves one with Christ as well? And that brought me to a reading on a scripture on Hebrews that says we need to approach this sanctuary that is brought to us, and through our faith and through God's grace, because we only have we can only or God can only offer us the grace, but we have to accept it and live it. So there's two things there: accepting our faith and living the faith, which means I'm going back to the word of compassion. It's not only feeling of pity, but actually acting and doing something, to live that faith.
I'm glad you went back to the second reading. I was quite struck by that myself, and in particular the juxtaposition between Christ Jesus as our peace, and then in the same sentence, this idea that the peace was created through the destruction, the breaking down of the dividing walls of enmity, which made me think about the peace that we strive for. And this picks up on a point you made earlier, Jelvin, from the first reading from Jeremiah, that the peace that we look for is in fact a peace that brings, as the result or as the fruits of justice and righteousness in the land. So it's a peace that involves us breaking down and changing things, being concerned for the structures of the society in which we live. And it starts, I think, with an awareness of what divides us and what barriers separate us from others. Moving towards the end of time, and I'm just thinking it's a good time now to ask the both of you, or for each of us, to share a thought about what we might want people to take away from the readings this week. What's the one thing that you would like someone to walk away with, Victoria?
I think For me, one of the most striking things that comes from all the readings is that we are all called to be pastors. And in fact, that means being out in front as a leader or walking alongside people to support them and being behind to attend to those wounded. Those that may have fallen away.
I think I've given mine away a couple of times, so I'll give it back again. It's compassion, and for me, compassion is being comfortable with distractions. Because you want to get away, you want to rest, but there is this urgent need that you see. And being comfortable with that and being comfortable with interruptions, because that might just save someone. It's not easy going out of our comfort zone, but as Jesus said, being a disciple is not easy. It's never easy. So we need to be comfortable with those situations. And I think that's where we are called to do. And I mean, it's not only giving away your money, but there are three things here: your time, your talent, and your treasure. So in any of those that you have, there's probably one that might help someone today.
For me, it's the tensions inherent in the readings. I've already spoken about the tension between peace and having to restructure and change and break down. And in the gospel, there is also the tension between that compassion that leads us to go out of ourselves, to put aside our own needs, and at the same time, that important need affirmed by Jesus, the important need of the apostles. To actually take some time out, remembering that the gospel for this week actually follows on from the Great Commission and the sending out of the apostles in the earlier part of that chapter. So living with those tensions, peace and destruction go together, and rest and action also need to be juggled. Well, thank you both for your contribution today, and a thank you to our listeners. I thought we would finish, as we usually do, with a prayer, and the prayer I've chosen is actually the St. Patrick's breastplate. I won't read it all out because it's rather a long prayer, but I thought it encompassed and captured a lot of what we were sharing today. And I'm going to change it from singular to plural. We arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity. Through belief in the threeness, through confession of the oneness of the Creator of creation. We arise today through God's strength to pilot us, God's might to uphold us, God's wisdom to guide us, God's eye to look before us, God's ear to hear us, God's word to speak for us, God's hand to guard us, God's shield to protect us, God's host to save us from temptation and from all those who wish us ill. Christ with us, Christ before us, Christ behind us, Christ in us, Christ beneath us, Christ above us, Christ on our right, Christ on our left, Christ when we lie down, Christ when we sit down, Christ when we arise, Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of us, in the mouth of everyone who speaks of us, Christ in every eye that sees us, Christ in every ear that hears us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.